You're listening to Sportsnet Today
with Logan Gordon
on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Kicking off hour two on Flames game day. Last multi-game road trip of the season for the Calgary Flames. They're into California. Kicking off a three-game trip against the San Jose Sharks. Dustin Wolf gets the start in goal for the Flames. Backlund and Mangiapane taking part in morning skate. No Oliver Shillington, so we're expecting to see Ilya Solovyov back in the Flames lineup after his recall on Monday. You can get all that lineup confirmation at 7:30 tonight. Pat Steinberg, he's got your Flames warm-up. 8:30 puck drop with Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson right here on the home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960. The Fan, we talked all things Flames. More on Dustin Wolf and getting the start against his hometown San Jose Sharks in hour one. Plus, I'll get the opposition with Curtis Peschelka. If you missed any of it, check us out on the podcast. Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. I'd love to have you along for the ride. Fan feedback line open at 960-960. Shoot us a text on this Tuesday. We'll get to the text line coming up in just a bit. But right now, very happy to go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Welcome in our pal, host of the Fan pregame show on Sportsnet, Ailish Forfar, joins us on this Tuesday. What's up, Ailish? How are you?
Hey, I'm jet lagged Tuesday. Like, I don't know. It's a weird day for me. Not a middle of the week thing, but I guess you're off tomorrow. I'm also off tomorrow. So this works perfect.
This did work out well. Yeah. We're taking Jays baseball tomorrow, and you managed to make your way to the stadium last night for a big win for the Jays.
I did. Yeah. I scooted down there right after our show ended, and luckily they had a 37-minute pregame ceremony, so I didn't miss any of the actual action. But yeah, it was really cool to be there. Obviously, you know, they've been doing some renos the last couple of seasons, and this one was more focused on the 100s in the infield. So I did not have seats in the 100s, but I did find myself down there in some seats, finessing. But I got to check it out, and it's really awesome. It's starting to really look like a ballpark. And I mean, it was kind of like a concrete circle before, and now there's character, and there's really awesome additions. And I mean, it cost a hell of a lot of money, and they worked their butts off over the last couple of months. So I was really impressed. It's going to be great. If people are baseball fans and they want to see, you know, every stadium, I think the Blue Jays could be up there rivaling some really cool ones in terms of just the last 2 years. It's a completely different experience. If you're like not even a huge baseball fan, let's say you just like want the social experience, you have that too. So it was great. And they won, and they scored more than zero runs. So like vibes were good. So it was nice to check it out. It feels like spring here finally.
That's good, because you and me had a little sad, depressing text conversation last week about the terrible state of Toronto sports. The Leafs lost. The Jays finished up that terrible series with, like, Sportsnet stats was just adding to seasonal depression.
They were the worst.
Like, just every terrible Jay stat you could think of. And then the Raptors throw up a stinker, and Malachi Flynn scores. Malachi Flynn scores 50 points. Like, what the hell are we talking about here? And but no, you're right. They scored last night. They got the win, and we're almost 500. We're getting better. We're feeling okay.
Yeah, that night that we were talking about was like the worst night in Toronto sports. Like, it was after the Blue Jays get no hit, the Leafs lose. Malachi Flynn of our ghost from the past with 50 off the bench. If you had said, I'll give you $1,000 and you have 2 minutes to guess somebody in the NBA, here's who played. Guess who got 50 points? I wouldn't have done it. Like, I don't even think Malachi Flynn's name would have come out of my mouth in an hour. Like, it was just shocking. It felt like the world was against Toronto that week. Luckily, last night, the Leafs get a big OT win. Jays get a win. The Raptors season is ending. That's a win for everybody. They only have, like, two or three more games left. So we're, you know, quietly counting down. This week will be the last week of Raptors coverage, which is, you know, it's just time to turn a page. But yeah, last night was a huge night. We're trying to cover it all. We had obviously the Jays home opener. We had the Leafs hosting the Penguins, which is, I mean, huge for the whole storyline of Dubas coming into town. You had the March Madness final. And women were playing the U.S. and Canada were playing last night. So my eyes were split into like many pieces watching. Shout out Rogers Ignite in yes. the stands at the game. But yeah, Leafs, big one for them. They got another game tonight. It's just like they're pumping out games, trying to crawl over the finish line here. So lots to talk about.
Not even you don't have to worry about the victory for the Leafs. The good news for you is 65 for Matthews.
Oh yeah, it's happening.
It's getting closer.
It's getting closer. So tonight they're playing the Devils. Devils are, you know, they're pretenders. They play them tonight and Thursday. So let's say he can get 3 goals in the next 2 games. We're like right there, man. Like then they play Detroit, and again, you know,
pretenders.
They're pretending.
Yeah.
And then it's back to back Florida, Tampa, where you might be resting your stars if you're those other opponents. I think we're right there. We're so close. He needs to get 2 tonight, or I think people are going to, or it's going to be, okay, well, do you sit him? You know, do you give some load management? But I love that the team, I don't know if it's just because I got my eyes on like, on everybody trying to get him the puck, but it's, if you want a free bet for tonight, Matthew over shots. It's just like he's puppering the puck from, oh, I'm at the red line. I'll just shoot on net.
Why not?
I'm behind the net. No, I'll just shoot it on net. It's kind of shameless, but at the same time, it's fun. I want him to get 70. So we're 5 away. It's doable.
I think it's going to happen. I've got Matthew's goal notification set on my phone just following it. So if he hits 70, I can finally send you that text because I know once we get to like 68 and everything, we're going to start to get real tense about this. So. Good for the Leafs, and it kind of feels like now they're locked into that spot. Feels like it's going to be Florida. Boston's kind of pushed their way ahead in this whole thing. And how do we feel about Florida? I know we've had this conversation a bit. They're going to see each other before the regular season comes to an end. But if it does wind up being Florida like we think it is, how do we feel about that in Toronto?
You know, it's interesting. I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, I would have said, hell no. Like, the Panthers were a team of like, actual nightmare fuel. They're physical. They're deep. They're getting goaltending. They had, like, this horseshoe-type luck that had been following them. The way they finished off last season, of course, getting in the playoffs and then showing this edge and this like nobody had belief in the Florida Panthers. And then they found a way to get to the Cup final. So about 3 weeks ago, I think we talked about this. I said, I'd rather the Bruins. I want the Goliath that you slay your dragons. But I think we've seen a little bit of a different Panthers side over the last stretch. And I don't know if they're kind of galaxy braining us and trying to just coast into the playoffs. So then everybody feels more comfortable about them, but they're like 3-5-2 in their last 10. They've had some big losses. They've kind of felt like they've taken their foot off the gas. I don't think it was a peaking too early thing. I still fear who they are, but it's interesting. They don't have too much of a tough test down the stretch either. They got the Sens, the Blue Jackets, the Sabres, and then the Leafs. So maybe they will actually, yeah, it's a horrible schedule for them. Like, I don't know why you would even attend. But if you're looking at, maybe that gives them an upper hand in terms of if they know they're going to be in a playoff spot, they might be playing for home ice advantage. But if you can rest some of your guys up against the Sens and the Panthers and the Sabres, and that actually might give them a little bit of a little bit more fire in that first round. But, sure. You know, I really have seen a bit of a different side of the Panthers. I actually got to see them last Monday. I went to the game at Scotiabank. It was like the first time I was a fan, just sitting in the stands, I think in the last 2 years. So that was really fun. And the Leafs beat them 6-4. And that was the score kind of score effects there at the end. Like the Leafs really cooked them, but they kind of took their foot off the gas. But got to see them up close and personal, and I'm a little less worried about the state of the Panthers, but those are your famous last words, right?
For sure.
To me, it's this final stretch is really where you see, I guess, what a team's priorities are, and I think we'll learn a lot about the Panthers. They had a big game against the Bruins on Saturday, went to OT, and they lost, and that's their last big test, right? They don't really have anything else to play for in terms of the sizing up opponents, and that Leafs game at the very end of their season, like, I can't imagine them icing their full roster, especially if they're playing against each other in the first round. So I don't know if that doesn't give you maybe the best mentality going into the playoffs. Like, I would prefer, if I was playing, you know, back playing hockey, to be trying to prove something or figure something out or chase something, because that's exactly what happens 2 days later when you're in game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Whereas if you're kind of coasting as they've been, does that bad habit, does that, you know, lackluster effort, does that carry over? So that's my spin zone on now having to probably face the Panthers, who were the scariest opponent about 3 weeks ago. So I'm trying to give the Leafs fan spin zone that actually maybe this is good for the Leafs. But in the end, you know, it's going to come down to the top guys on the Maple Leafs finding something different. And I do think if Matthews is pushing 70 and the team wants 70 and they want him to get that, like, that's a humongous accomplishment.
Yeah.
You're not going to think that that's not going to have him fired up game one of the playoffs. I think it could really work in their favor.
Last night, Leafs got a chance to see the Penguins as one of these teams that all of a sudden is fighting for these last two spots in the East. It's third in the Metro and the second wild card spot still up for grabs. We talked a little bit about the Red Wings in passing there, but I don't know. Do you feel like any of these teams that potentially get in are real Stanley Cup contenders? Like, all due respect to Philly, Washington, New York, like, these are all teams with bad goal differentials on the season, well into the negatives. I mean, Pittsburgh might scare me a bit just because Sid is Sid, but, like, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know, Ailish, compared to all the other teams that have already clinched it and made it home, and like Tampa Bay, none of these teams really frighten me all that much if they get in.
Oh, that's like exactly what our topic is at the start of our show today. There's four teams separated by 2 points for that final spot in the Metro and into the wild card spot. And Islanders, Pretenders, Washington,
yeah.
I think they're just surprised they're even in the race. I wouldn't like jokingly saying this, but Ovi's probably like, guys, I don't want to play postseason games because I need to rest so that I can play more regular season games next year and score more goals that matter. Philly has a little bit of punch to them. Like, I could say that Philly has inspired at times, like, this, you know, the Philly athlete mentality or the Philly fan base. Like, they kind of had a little bit of a prove it out of the blue type of stretch there. But Pittsburgh, you know, if I could choose a team to actually make it, it would be Pittsburgh, because obviously as a Canadian, I, you know, obsessed with Sidney Crosby's career. He was one of my favorite players ever in any sport growing up. And what I've seen from him and Malkin and the gang of old guys finding a way to do something, it's actually been awesome. But then the Leaf fan side of me is like, it's Dubas. And it's almost like,
yeah.
Do you, like, I have no problem with Dubas. Like, some people here are just like, I hate that guy. Don't let him back into the country. And I'm like, it's just interesting how we're going to grade his first season as a Pittsburgh Penguins GM, president, hybrid, whatever his actual role is, because it sucked. It was awful. And then all of a sudden, it's like the players were just, we're not accepting that is our fate. So a part of me really wants, if anyone to do it, to be Pittsburgh, who's like right there. They got a point last night, which they needed. I think they basically have to win out, because I want to see Crosby play meaningful hockey games. I don't want to have to think, like, did we see Crosby's last playoff game ever? Part of me really wants to see that, like, as a sweetheart story. But it would be interesting, like, how, like, the hockey media, specifically those in Toronto, will talk about Dubas and what he did with this team, because that's always top of mind, right? It's the new regime. It's you left us with nothing, et cetera, et cetera. So that one would be the best for storylines, for content, for like the drama. Of course, Washington, like, you know, Ovi's stretch is interesting to me. I don't think that team has much beyond Ovi's goal streak to play for and to worry about. But I really don't think, like, you look at the top of the Eastern Conference, none of these teams stack up to the Rangers or the Hurricanes or the Bruins, even the Panthers. And the Lightning, as of late, have been unbelievable. They've been one of the best teams since the All-Star break, and they came out of nowhere. So I think whatever team gets it is in for a kind of a rude awakening. But if you get to pick storylines, you know, Pittsburgh would be a pretty great one.
Yeah, I guess Pittsburgh kind of does work as the anti, like, Toronto choice, because not only mm-hmm. is there Dubas, but all of a sudden Michael Bunting is,
like, come on,
reborn in Pittsburgh after they dumped Gensel, and everyone was like, that's it. You guys have given up, but you took Bunting back, you made it work, and he's got, like, he's, like, under point per game playing in Pittsburgh. And you're like, how the hell are you guys even... Are you and me talked about this like a month ago. We're like, these guys suck. Like, Dubas has nothing going for him. Everybody's mad. Now Malkin's parents are there and they're crying. And
oh, that was actually really sweet,
it
though.
It was, but I'm like, I thought we were done talking about you guys. And now this. And it's like, you're right. I have to agree with you. None of you scare me. The Islanders, you scared me when Barry Trotz was there, but you don't scare me now. And I mean, Detroit, okay, I guess Patrick Kane's there. I mean,
yeah, there's that story, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not, I don't know who inspires you in goal there. That's not really
a thing.
It does feel like it's just Pittsburgh. And I mean, if you're Boston or New York, is that really who you want to see round one? That's not. It's better than Tampa, don't get me wrong, but it's still not overly inspiring compared to some of the other choices you might have.
Yeah, like we're gonna do for our show, like, you know, superlatives, like most likely tos. And we're gonna think like who is actually most likely to get in and go far, because that's what you're kind of most excited about, right? Like,
yeah.
Nobody wants to see a team crawl into the first round and then just get whooped. Like, I like a sweep, but like, I also like watching hockey. I love a game seven. I'd rather watch a really competitive first round. And we're going to see that in spades on the other side of the Western Conference. Like, there is so much good hockey on that side of the bracket. And when you look at, you know, the Eastern Conference, you don't want some joke team getting in there and then just like, I also screw stuff up too. If you're the first team you play, you win them in four games, you're kind of sitting around waiting for another team that's kind of gone through like the battle that's gotten stronger. And yeah, maybe they've gotten through some injuries, so there's always a give and take there. But I think if it's a team that can get in and actually do something, it's hard to bet against the leadership and the expertise and the like winning pedigree of the Pittsburgh Penguins. So I would say like that to me could happen. The other teams, Washington, Philadelphia, they've got like, as you said, like minus 40 goal differentials. Like, it could be like one of the worst teams to ever make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So this just gets me to like, I want to see, you know, one day down the road, maybe they restructure how playoffs work and does one play eight? And like, is there a different way to do this? Because although this is really interesting and it makes the last week and a half of hockey interesting for fans and for us as broadcasters, sometimes, you know, other leagues do it right. Is there a play-in tournament that could happen instead? Does, you know, if you're a President's Trophy, do you get a bye? Do you get home ice advantage for like five games? We've talked about this on our show. We're trying to figure out like how to make it more meaningful. But there's a couple teams that have some really important hockey to play down the stretch. So we'll keep our eyes on it. And I think, you know, we played the Leafs played the Devils twice this week, who are, I guess, technically kind of still in there. So I guess they could be. Yeah, they're not really in it, but they could be spoilers in a sense. So lots of interesting stuff on the Eastern Conference bracket, at least.
You mentioned you were super busy yesterday between the Leafs and the Jays. Did you happen to catch any of Canada USA at the hockey championships?
I did. Shout out Rogers Ignite in the stands. And I got a chance to watch. When I knew that it was getting close to overtime, I'm like, well, obviously, I got to watch that. It's inevitable. These two will go to overtime.
They're
a little bit of a
so evenly
play.
Matched, Ailish. It's crazy.
Pretty awesome. Yeah, like the thing that's interesting to me, and I was just talking to this with a coworker here in the office, was the way that Canada and USA have structured their rosters. Like, USA is going really young. They love to bring in players that are still in university or just on their way out of university. And I think they also got whooped in that rivalry series. Like, they got the reverse sweep twice in a row. And a lot of those girls weren't able to play because they were in the college playoff or college hockey at that point. So you're seeing some new faces on the US team, and they're young and they're fast and they're really offensively sound. I would say Canada leans more in the, well, you've been a part of this program. You know, you're an established leader, veteran, like you've been around. And it's just interesting to see like what is the winning recipe. Last night it was an OT winner by the girl that was a Patty Kaz finalist. Like,
yep.
She is the next thing. And it's interesting, like, those players getting an opportunity to score in the big moments, to be on the ice for overtime. Like, that's not really like the way that it always works for Canada. So USA is pushing different buttons, and it worked last night. Obviously, you know, knock on wood, these two will meet in the final and for the championship. But it'll be interesting because Canada kind of does the same process. And if it brings you home the gold medals, that's at the Olympics, that works. But I mean, last year they got upset and they lost the world championship on home ice and it sucked. I was there. It was hard to watch USA like win in your barn. So Canada's hoping to do that to USA there in Utica. So lots of hockey to be played, but it's just been great to see them playing. Like you can just tell having the PWHL has made these girls like, I don't know, 10% faster, fitter, stronger, more in touch because they're playing every single day. Like this is their job now. So I think it's really elevated the play. So hopefully people get a chance to watch because the tournament's getting close to the quarterfinals now.
Yeah, it's too bad Bobby Ryan doesn't watch women's sports or he could learn something about good hockey.
Oh my God, buddy. Like what's with people on Twitter lately wanting to just be like there's that, I think, where's
just
that meme?
Just to poke
like,
the bear? That person.
There's like always that person on Twitter every day. You just don't want to be them. And like in the last week, there's been some horrible hockey related Twitter moments. And he was one of them. Like, I don't know. I mean, he unfortunately lost his job because of it. But like, I don't get it. I don't get why we can't just be happy for the success of women and not have to make it a referendum on like anything, but just supporting the women's March Madness was friggin' believable.
It was
like
great.
It was awesome. Yeah, and I thought it was much more interesting than last night's championship. Sorry, like not just because I'm a woman, I just think there was bigger stakes and I cared more.
It's not even a debate. It was entirely more people know about Caitlin Clark than anybody who played last night.
100%. And I just think like it's really an awesome time right now with the growth of women's sports. You're seeing it in WNBA. You're going to watch more people are going to watch the WNBA next season. I can already guarantee it than have watched probably ever because there's new faces that get a moment on the big stage to shine. And same with the PWHL and same with a women's soccer, which is coming up and obviously Olympics on the horizon helps with that. So I just think there's a lot of eyeballs to go around. It's not one's better than the other. It's like sometimes it's your moment and you deserve the praise for that. So that's my spiel on all that goodness online.
Just some things. It just came down to honestly, and Bobby Ryan, whatever, if you don't want to watch women's sports or you don't find value, that's fantastic. You're welcome to that opinion. You don't need to tweet about it and poke at everybody that does. Like you're just you're trying to get a reaction and you're not gonna win that battle. You need a much more salient argument than the one that he proposed on Twitter, which was nothing.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, man.
It's just like the doubling down and the tripling down and the quadrupling down and like at some point there's no more.
You can't anymore. Yeah, there's nowhere to go.
Like, you know, like you're just going in circles. And we see that all the time online. It's not just him, but, you know, sometimes it's just challenging for people to accept that other sports can grow and share the same spotlight. And
just let other people like something. Like, who cares
if
you don't like
everything.
It? Oh, Bobby,
yeah, I totally agree, man.
Stop talking. Please stay off Twitter for a while. But you're the best, Ailish. Always like the chats. Have a great show tonight. Did enjoy the game, eh?
Yeah, and day off tomorrow. I'm hitting the golf course for the first time this season.
Ooh.
So I'll let you know how the game goes.
Yes, please
Danny
do.
Sam McKee and I and Jesse Rubinoff from Sportsnet. We're going to hit I went to the driving range on the weekend, so I had to, you know, at least swing one club before. But things are looking good. We'll update you next week on how the golf game's looking.
Good. Looking forward to it. Have a great week, Ailish.
All right. Talk soon.
See you, pal. Ailish Forfar joining us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Host of the Fan pregame show on Sportsnet. You'll see her in just a couple hours. And she'll be on 590, the Fan in TO, getting set for the Leafs and the New Jersey Devils, part of 13 games on the NHL schedule this Tuesday. Take a break. Come back on the other side. Jay's report with Shan. Also checking with Flames head coach Ryan Huska on a game day. Closing out Sportsnet today next here on Sportsnet 960, the Fan. This is a Flames game day. Flames and the San Jose Sharks. The penultimate matchup between these two teams.
It's a great word.
They'll meet again to close out the regular season for the Flames next week in Calgary. Tonight, Dustin Wolf gets the start. We'll hear from head coach Ryan Huska coming up in just moments as he checks in following morning skate in San Jose. And well, it's a Flames game day and a busy day in the NHL. Also, another game day for the Toronto Blue Jays. Their series continues against the Seattle Mariners. Let's check in on the latest with the Jays with our pal Shan.
Time now for the Jays Report on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Shan Burgee.
It's about time the Blue Jays got to play their home opener in the newly renovated Rogers Center. As we all know, some people just hate change, and the new backdrop behind home plate has angered a few fans, and the new look down the foul line. Whatever. Give it up. We got baseball in Canada again. Jays hosted the Mariners for the first game of the young season. It started with a pretty cool opening ceremony where Kevin Kiermaier and Jose Barrios accepted their Gold Glove Awards from last season, a year where the Jays won the Team Gold Glove Award as well. Offense has been a concern early on in this season for the Jays. They sit in the bottom half of the league in almost every offensive category. And what better place to turn that around than in front of the Blue Jays faithful? It was a scoreless first, but Alejandro Kirk got the Jays on the board with a one-run single in the second. And then in the third, with the bases loaded, fan favorite Davis Schneider, he opened the game up.
And Schneider pokes it to center, and that's down for a base hit. Guerrero in to score, and Bichette behind him. And everybody's running. Turner comes around to third. Schneider into second. It's 3-0.
Jays couldn't do any more damage in the third, but Vladdy brought home a runner with a double in the fourth, and the good guys have a 4-0 lead. Jose Barrios got the nod and continued his strong start to the season. Almost seven innings for him with just four hits, one batter walked, and zero earned runs. Jays held a shutout until the eighth inning where J.P. Crawford hit a solo shot, and the noted Blue Jays killer Cal Raleigh hit another solo bomb in the ninth. But that would be it. Jays take the win 5-2 in the home opener. Game 2 against the Mariners tonight. Chris Bassitt gets the hill for the Jays, and George Kirby will take the mound for Seattle. Bassitt hasn't had a pretty start to the season with a couple losses and a 7.71 ERA. This Jays roster has had their way with Kirby over the past couple years, giving up an average of 4.35 in 23 at-bats. First pitch at 5.07 tonight. I'm Shan Verge, and that was your Jays report.
Catch the Blue Jays all season long, right here on Calgary's home of the Blue Jays, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Great job, Shan. Yes, the Jays and the Mariners continue their series tonight. You can catch that game on Sportsnet with that 5:07 first pitch. Mariners 4-7, Jays 5-6. Looking to get back to the 500 mark for the first time this season. Good to get back. Did you have a problem with the new backdrop, Shan? Everyone was very upset, as you mentioned in the Jays report.
Well, I look at it right away. I see there's some gray. There's some big ads there. And I thought, I'm like, you know what? It doesn't even look, it looks different, sure. It doesn't look that bad, but I know people are going to be mad. And then my big concern, something I'm actually a little angry about, is that home plate lady is not behind home plate. What are we doing? She's not to the right of home plate lady. She's home plate lady. So she's just off to the side a little bit. It's different. I don't like that. I'd say I struggle a bit with change, but the backdrop I'm okay with, and home plate lady I'm not.
Now, home plate lady is similar to Flames bench lady, right?
Yes.
Barb.
Yeah, absolutely.
Barb, yes.
I actually
think Cam would get that, but he knew what I was talking about.
I watched the games. Come on.
I know, but you haven't watched for years. I think that's fair to say.
I know who Barb is.
Okay, I'm glad that you do.
I have to say,
right? Like, this, if Barb gets moved in the new arena and isn't there,
it's not the same. Oh yeah, I'd be very upset. I feel bad for Barb because I met Barb at Market Mall when I was probably 12 years old, and I went up to her. I was like, "Can I take a picture with you?" She's like, "Are you serious?" I'm like, "Well, I mean, I'm sorry, but you've been a part of my life. Like, I've watched almost every Flames game." And it's like, yeah, I guess I'll take a picture. And you can see me. I'm just beaming in the picture. I mean, like, listen,
can
nice
you
lady.
Find that picture?
I definitely could. Nice lady. I'm not saying she wasn't. It's not that she wasn't nice. She was very nice. She's just like, "You actually want a picture?" I'm like, "Yeah." So I'll find the picture here. But I have like ear to ear grin because I think it's cool and also hilarious.
Yeah, I can understand why she'd be a bit taken aback by you.
She's a Calgary legend.
She is a Calgary legend. I didn't know as much about home plate lady as I knew about Barb.
Oh, that's a big deal too. That's literally Toronto's Barb.
I guess so. Calgary's better anyways. catch the Jays and the Mariners. We'll have game 3 of this series on your radios tomorrow afternoon. Get tuned in for a 1:07 first pitch with Yusei Kikuchi set to get the start for the Jays. Back to the Flames now. They're getting set to take on the Sharks as part of their final multi-game road trip of the season. We heard from Dustin Wolf earlier today. Let's check in with head coach Ryan Huska. Big trip for his team. Dustin Wolf gets the start in goal. Here's the head coach's thoughts following morning skate in San Jose.
How do you want your group to approach this game? Is it like any other game for you? Or is this, you know, as you come down the stretch, do you have a different message right now for your group? But starting with tonight on this road trip.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think the messaging is different. Yes, there isn't anything we can do in regards to getting ourselves back in playoffs or anything like that. But I think the important part for our team is understanding the importance of this time of year in regards to how it sets you up moving forward. So this group we've dealt with a lot over the course of the year in regards to change and a lot of noise around the room. And I think the guys have done a really good job of handling that and continue to work. And if they're able to maintain that the last number of games, you can keep building some things. So that's the challenge for us, is that we want to continue to push. When there's nothing on the line, that's a hard thing to do. And it's more about pride and more about commitment to your teammates. So that's what we're looking for out of our players, and to make sure we have one of our better efforts of the year tonight.
Is it safe to say you've seen that, though, the work, the commitment to the teammates, the last two games yep. specifically?
Yeah, absolutely. And over the course of the year, there haven't been many that we've had tough nights. Last time we played San Jose, we weren't at our best. So this is an opportunity to make amends for that game for sure. But that's what it really becomes about. The tighter you can create as a bond amongst your teammates, the more willingness you're willing to show to yourself, your teammates, that you're going to do whatever it takes to win and continue to do that, even though there isn't anything on the line in regards to you know, where we fit in the standings and stuff like that. It's a real important part of the year.
You've said this before, but the process is more important than the results. But when you have a game, you know, specifically against the Oilers, where you feel really good about mm-hmm. a lot of the things you do, and then mm-hmm. you know, you're still not getting those results. Is it for younger guys, you know, kind of part of that learning process about making sure that, you know, you don't get away from that part of it, you know, to try to cheat to the results, I guess?
For me, that's the biggest part of it. In games that are close games, and we're going to be expecting to be in close games the rest of the way, it's the one mistake along the way, or if you lose your concentration or you're not ready for a certain situation, that's when the losses come into play. So you have to learn to play a full 60 minutes. So when you're on the bench, making sure you're refocused and re-energized for your next shift is the most important thing, because that's what hurt us against Edmonton. We had a poor change, led to a penalty that we took, and it's in the back of your net. And then you go from a 2-2 game where we're feeling we're playing really well to one where we're not winning. So those things, they matter, and they will continue to matter.
We talked about Sharon Yovich hitting 30 the other night, yeah. but the success of the power play, both of those goals against Edmonton, kind of came from Yegor's stick in a similar spot. Has there been any sort of emphasis on getting him more involved on the power play now?
No, not so much getting him more involved. I think putting him on the side that he's been on lately is a change for us. He was on his one-time side for the majority of the games prior to the last stretch where they've caught in fire. So I think what is happening is he's touching the puck more, and he's making good plays with it. And then I also thinking having Kuzi down around the net has also added to our power play as well. And that's one of the things we knew was the strength of his game, was his ability to make things happen on the power play. And over the last little while, he's done that, and I think he's helped make that group better.
Coach, you said Uyghur plays every game like yeah. it's his last, or has been lately.
Yeah.
His role as a leader on this team, has that grown over the course of the year? It seems like we see him a lot more front and center.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what he does on the ice, what he does off the ice. We've talked before about how he's learned to control his emotions a little bit more when things aren't going his way or our team's way. And I think that's a lot of his growth that's coming from him wanting to be a leader and maybe expecting that out of himself right now, too.
For the young players on your roster, isn't that the most important thing, to help find your process at this level and also realize that regardless of the standings, you have to care?
That care part of it's non-negotiable, because if you don't have that, then you don't deserve to play in the NHL. It's a privilege to play here, so that has to be there. And like I said, young guys should know that. Old guys need to know that. I mean, that's what being in the NHL is all about.
But having a guy like Uyghur around that does that is
super. Oh, yeah. And that's the example that you want to see, and you want that from more of your players. Like, McKenzie will block 10 shots a night. He'll do whatever he has to do to try to help our team win, and that's what you love about him. And I know we're going to get the same type of efforts from him for the rest of the season.
He was talked about yesterday, but just the California kid comes home, chance to start. What's your read on on what this means to Dustin?
I'm sure it means a lot. The one nice thing for him is he's played in this building a lot over the years, whether it was American League games or he's very familiar with this area, I should say. So it's good to get him back in. I know he's excited. He was one of the first guys here at the rink this morning, so I know he's going to give us a good game.
A few options or guys who are maybe questionable tonight, or how you look at managing that as you get closer to puck drop?
Yeah, we're very much the same as we were against Edmonton. There's a few things that we'll have to sort out here this morning, and we'll have a better idea later tonight.
Ryan, what were your impressions of Nikita Hochek?
The impressions are he was a solid defenseman that moved really well and has the ability to play a physical brand of hockey, and that's what we need out of him moving forward. So again, he'll get an opportunity to play against his former team here tonight, and we're looking for him to do just that, move the puck quick, be a hard defender, give us some good minutes on the back end.
Do you feel that there's that growth is there for him, that possibility, he has that in him to sort of do that?
I think he has it in him, and then it comes to the player at that point, right? So you have to make the opportunity that's in front of you. You've got to grab hold of it is what I'm trying to say. So he needs to come in and play the game where he's not coming out again. So there's a style that he knows he has to play, and we'd like to see that from him tonight.
There you go. Checking in with head coach Ryan Huska on a game day, bringing you the latest from the Flames locker room every day here on Sportsnet Today. Flames and Sharks, 8:30. Puck drop, 7:30. Warm-up here on Sportsnet 960. Again, part of 13 games on the NHL schedule. Here are tonight's clinching scenarios via NHL.com. The Predators will clinch a playoff berth if they get at least 1 point versus the Jets. The Kings will clinch a playoff berth if they defeat the Ducks in any fashion. And as far as division titles go, two up for grabs tonight. The Rangers clinch the Metro Division title if they defeat the Islanders in any fashion, and the Hurricanes lose to the Bruins in regulation. Bruins clinch the Atlantic Division title if they defeat the Hurricanes in any fashion, and both of the following occur. Maple Leafs lose to the Devils in any fashion, and the Panthers lose to the Sens in regulation. Stars can also clinch the Central if they beat the Sabres. Avs lose to the Wild, and the Jets lose to the Predators. So there are your clinching scenarios for this Tuesday. 13 games to go on this Tuesday. It gets going at 5 o'clock. Carolina and Boston. Washington is in Detroit. What a massive game for those two teams. I don't know if either of them are Stanley Cup contenders, but they're both in the playoff picture in the East, and that's a huge game, Shan, for those two teams.
There's like five teams that are trying their hardest to not make the playoffs right now in that wild card race. Those are two of them.
Ottawa is in Florida to take on the Panthers. Big game for the Flyers. They're in Montreal taking on the Habs. They cannot lose to Montreal if they want to keep up with teams like Washington and Detroit. Mentioned it earlier with Eilish, Leafs, and Devils from New Jersey. All Battle of New York tonight. Rangers at the Islanders. Both of them currently in playoff spots. Columbus in Tampa. Buffalo is in Dallas. Potential playoff preview, perhaps, between the Jets and the Predators in Nashville. Watch out for falling chairs if you're walking in Nashville and Morgan Wallen happens to be around. Minnesota's in Colorado. Getting set to take on the Wild and the Avalanche. Go at 7:30. All California matchup on Sportsnet 360. It's the Angels. What a moron. Los Angeles Kings and the Anaheim Ducks. Why did I say Angels?
You were probably thinking Los Angeles and Anaheim, which they were.
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim? Well, is that what they were?
Yeah.
Stupid name.
Because they used to be the Anaheim Angels, right?
You're such an idiot, Logan. Thanks.
No.
Kings and Ducks at 8 o'clock. On Sportsnet 360, that's hockey, not baseball. Okay. How about the Coyotes and the Seattle Kraken?
Match of the night? Hey, Josh Doan has been a fun story.
Sure.
That's about it.
I watched on night one. That was it.
He keeps getting points.
Well, good for him.
Maybe he's going to save him like his dad did.
Maybe he's going to Utah.
Oh. Now, come on. Give him a break.
Nope.
They got the land auction.
Oh, yeah, great. That's cool.
I actually, I'll be honest, I might be in the minority here. I want the Coyotes to succeed.
For a number of reasons.
I want the Coyotes to succeed. I really do. Arizona is a sports city. Or that's a state. Oof. Phoenix is a sports city. They can survive.
I like how the mayor of Scottsdale was like, yeah, no chance. Yeah, stay yeah. away from Scottsdale.
Bunch of young guys building stuff. Don't want
it. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Don't want them.
That didn't help.
Not a good look.
No, that's not a good look at all, actually. No. It's like, oh, we're good. No.
I want them to stay only because I like their jerseys.
Oh, they're the best jerseys in the league.
I really like the Kachina jerseys.
The logo is pretty sick, too.
It's original.
Yeah.
No one else does it. I like it.
I just think they can survive there. It's just not being run right.
But can they thrive there?
Yes.
The question.
No, okay, they can. Yes, they can thrive there. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. And yes, there are probably some other spots that have a better shot of doing it. I like the area. I love going to Arizona. I love going to Phoenix. And I just, it's a sports city, and they can do it. They don't have a good team, though. It doesn't help.
That's the NHL schedule for tonight. This text came in at 960-960. We're talking about home plate lady in Toronto and Barb behind the bench in Calgary. This text says, I got tickets right behind the bench for Tampa Bay in December, right beside Barb. I happen to know the user, and he said that I should leave her alone. I wanted to say hi as well. Been watching her for years. Shan did show me the picture.
Yeah.
He took with Barb when he was a youngster, and I can tell you, with all due respect to Barb, who doesn't, she's not a celebrity, she doesn't have to take pictures.
No.
She didn't look like she wanted to take a picture with you.
No.
And I don't blame her.
She was, first of all, it's not like I was a kid either. Like I think I was 12 or 13 or something. So, you know, it's not like I was 6 years old and she was nice enough to take the picture. And
it looks like you're in
nice
the
person.
Bay.
It was the Bay at Markham Mall. Yes, that's exactly where it was.
And she's just doing shopping on a Sunday. And yeah. It's Shannon. What is it? Your cousin, you said?
Yeah, it wasn't. She did not have to or really want to do that. I appreciate that she did. It's one of my favorite pictures because, like, seriously, you watch all these games growing up and you're like, hey, I see the same person every day. It's like, she's like a part of my life, you know?
Yeah, apparently you're the only one, though.
Yeah.
I asked Ailish this earlier, and I'm curious if you feel any different.
Hmm.
The East is just a battle of nobodies right now.
It's, yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, I guess Pittsburgh, because they've been playing well lately. I still think they're a flawed team.
Oh, very flawed.
I don't think that they're a cup contender. As good as Crosby and Malkin have been, the majority of the year, you've stunk.
Mm-hmm.
Carlson's been a disaster there. You don't have any goaltending. Kyle Dubas made a failed attempt at keeping this team relevant, and they've had like a post. Somehow they've been better without Jay Gensel than with him.
Bunting's been
and
great.
Michael, yeah, Michael Bunting's been reborn. And they're in this race. But, like, I'm sorry. The Islanders, you're not the Islanders with Barry Trotz, this hard defensive team.
No.
Their goal differential is minus 23. Sorokin kind of scares me if I'm a opposing team, but I still don't think they can score.
No.
So I'm not worried about them. Detroit.
They're still young.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, Kane is there. They've got Larkin. DeBrinket's there. I just don't, again, cup contender or playoff team? Kind of more playoff team.
Yeah,
for
they're
me.
They're more playoff team. I don't think the Islanders have a chance. Washington also does not have a chance. I love Ovi. It's, you know what?
They're negative 41 on the goal differential.
I don't think they really, as a team, understand how they're here as well. Pittsburgh.
Torch is screaming in Philly, but we all knew this was going to happen. He's the only one that didn't see the collapse coming. And you traded away your best defenseman this season. You healthy scratched your captain and created a massive media storm.
And they've lost like six. I mean,
and
not,
now
not
you're
directly
like, now you're
it.
Stunned. It hasn't worked for your team in your 2-5-3 in your last 10. Like, everyone saw it coming. You're not a playoff team. And I'm like, who, like, if I'm New York, I'm like, fantastic. This is great. Give me any of these and let Boston play Tampa in round one.
They're all just tiring
Perfect.
Each other out for Perfect. Whoever the first round matchup is. But, like, you have to give Pittsburgh the slimmest of a chance, and it's simply because they have Sidney Crosby and yeah, Malkin. And listen, I will say Carlson has not been great. Hasn't been a complete disaster. The thing that I don't understand, their power play is not good, which they have some of the best power play people in the league. I don't understand how that's not working, but Pittsburgh doesn't really have it. I think Philly has. They've got some fight in them. They've got some of that we have nothing to lose fight. And if they make it, they could take a game or two. But I really think whichever of those teams gets the last wild card spot, they're kind of just done.
just the West is going to be settled by like the weekend.
Yeah.
And everything looks strong. And then there's the East and you're like, all right.
It seriously,
somebody's getting in, I guess.
It feels like they're trying to miss the playoffs.
Pittsburgh at least got a point in that game against the Leafs on Monday night, yeah. But we'll see. It's still plenty to be decided. Like, it's literally still up in the air for about five teams trying to figure things out for the last spot in the Metro and the last spot in the wild card. We'll see if anything else gets determined Tuesday night. Enjoy the Flames and the Sharks. You got Steinberg on Flames warm up at 7:30. The great duo of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson on the call tonight. Nikita Hochuk makes his return to San Jose. It's a homecoming for Dustin Wolf. Lots to look forward to in this game. Enjoy it. Thanks to Curtis Peschelka and Ailish Forfar for joining us on the program today. If you missed anything, we'd love to have you on board on the podcast. Google, Amazon, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcast. You can hear from Dustin Wolf. You can hear from Ryan Huska as well on the program. Come along for the ride with us here on Sportsnet today. Thanks to Cam and Shan, my outstanding producers, for their great work. Have a great Tuesday. Talk to you next time on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.